It's good to see you here today on Communion Sabbath. Let's bow our heads as we get started. We are grateful, Father, that you've asked us to be involved in a service of this nature, and what a reminder it is. We ask that we might catch a glimpse this morning of what it is that we're supposed to have as a take-home lesson. What did you really intend us to know from this example that you've set? And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So what is it that you think of when you hear about the communion service? Jesus comes along roughly once a quarter in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It consists of the Lord's Supper celebration, which we're about to do, and also the ordinances of humility. Well, there's a number of denominations that celebrate in a little different way, and they have their own implementations of this service. In ancient times, the Hebrews took part in this as part of the Passover, as part of the Feast of what? Unleavened Bread. This is part of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And the thought comes to mind this morning, what does this word communion really mean? What does it mean to you? Chantel asked this question here just a few minutes ago, and redeemed was the next word that came out of her mouth. That certainly is a good definition for the communion, is it not? What should this service symbolize for us Christians today? Well, you might know the dictionary has a definition for this word, communion. A sharing or holding in common. Now that sounds kind of nice and fuzzy, doesn't it? A sharing or a holding in common. Here's another one. A spiritual interchange or fellowship. Sounds good, doesn't it? Spiritual interchange or fellowship. Here's another one. Participation. What do you think about that? Participation and communion? Do they go together? Could participation have been on the mind of Jesus as he broke bread and washed feet for his followers 2,000 years ago? Participation. Involvement, activity, inclusiveness, sharing, communion. As Mike mentioned, in the spring 31 AD, Thursday evening, sometime in April, it is a defined day in history, by the way, as Jesus was busy transforming the Hebrew Passover into the Christian communion service, he was processing participation. As time was running out on the Old Covenant, Jesus was communing with his Father. He was actively participating on the surrender level. You understand the meaning of that phrase? Jesus was participating on the surrender level. Mark 14:36 says, this understanding was like this, not my will, Father, but thine be done. You see, Jesus understood what surrender was really all about. He was fully surrendered to the will of his Father. Right at the top of his list, front and center, you might say, of prime importance to Jesus was the will of his Father. He had made it his custom to be so. This was his way of life for him, and it was about to become his way of death. John 8:28 and 29 defines Jesus' participation at the surrender level. If you turn to that, John 8:28 and 29. Then Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that has sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Here Jesus is saying, my Father and I are inseparable. We're like two peas in a pod. We're found together, everywhere. I don't even do anything or say anything on my own. And with confidence, he says, he will not leave me alone. He won't desert nor abandon me. For I always do those things that are pleasing to him. You'll notice that there is a reward for participation at this level. So here at that final Passover in the spring of 31, when it counted the very most, when intensity was at its peak for Jesus, when very literally all hell was breaking loose, when participation seemed to be so undesirable, Jesus was right on track to do what he came to do. Luke's account of what happened that night is recorded in Luke 22. Let's turn there. Luke 22, 19, 20, and verse 22. Then he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body. I gave it for you. Do this and remember me." Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a token of God's new covenant to save you, an agreement sealed with the blood that I am going to spill for you." Then he said, "Surely the Son of Man will now go according to the plan." You see, despite the challenges, the trials, the difficulties, Jesus remained on course. Jesus was steady as a rock because his Father is with him. He's always with him. He knows that he's on course, and he tells his followers and he tells his Father that he is on course. He is following his Father's will because he has surrendered to accomplish the goal of his Father. He is communing, participating, if you will, at the surrender level. And that, friends, is where we need to be. The single most important thing that I can do as a converted Christian is to discover God's will for my life and then follow it. How do I find out God's will for my life? Participation in Bible study, in prayer, and in witnessing. And yes, that was a plug for next quarter Sabbath school lesson. I need to be doing the will of my Father, discover His will, and then surrender to it. That's the example that Jesus has set for us. And that is the key to successful Christian living. It's also the key to communion with God, our Father. And I believe that's where we all want to be. In a few moments from now, we'll be participating and partaking in this wonderful service. The Bible tells us that there is a responsibility that goes along with our participation in the communion service. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 and 28 cautions us like this. If anyone eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, that person is guilty of sinning against the flesh and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. End of quote. You see, the Bible says that I need to do a bit of self-examination before I enter into this service. I need to make sure that my will is aligned with His. This is a time for me to check my allegiance to God. So this morning, I have to ask myself some tough questions. Is it possible that I am drifting or slipping away? Possible I've fallen asleep, like you mentioned in your prayer. Perhaps I'm too easily distracted. Maybe I'm holding on to something secret. Maybe my opinion or something else has gained too much importance in my life. Is my life a reflection of where God wants me to be right now? This morning, do I consider that the straight and narrow way is just a little bit too straight and a little bit too narrow? Maybe, just maybe, I need to start all over again with Jesus. Thankfully, the communion service is a great place to do that. And that's why we say, oh, the sweet surrender that leads to that sweet communion with God. Here in Sutherland, Seventh-day Adventist Church, we welcome our visitors to join us first in the Ordinance of Humility and then the Lord's Supper celebration. There is planned a children's story, as Mike mentioned. In this overflow room here, there's a foot washing place that's been set up for couples. The ones for men and women are in the back classrooms. You're free to avail yourself of any of those. We would welcome you to be involved in this service and enjoy thinking about what has been provided for you by the gift of what Jesus has done for us. Let's divide at this time, and then we'll reconvene here after the foot washing service. It's always interesting to try to put yourself in your mind's eye what was happening on the night that Jesus gave us this service and what may have been going through the minds of the people at that time. It's also interesting and uplifting to understand a little better about what this service is all about. I'm going to just read a paragraph as we get started here from the Desire of Ages about the meaning of this service. Communion service was not to be a season of sorrowing. This was not the purpose. As the disciples gathered about the Lord's table, they are not to remember or lament their shortcomings. They are not to dwell upon their past religious experience, whether that experience has been elevating or depressing. They are not to recall the differences between them and their brethren. The preparation service has embraced all this. The self-examination, the confessing of sin, the reconciling of differences has all been done. Now they come to meet with Christ. They are not to stand in the shadow of the cross, but in its saving light. They are to open the soul to the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness. With hearts cleansed by Christ's most precious blood, in full consciousness of His presence, although unseen, they are to hear His words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." John 14:27. First, Mike will be reading in regards to Christ's flesh, and then Wendell will be reading in regards to His blood. Then we'll kneel up here while you remain seated and have our prayer.
I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 and 24. You can also read about this in John 6:53-56. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'"
And verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'"
Dear Heavenly Father, all you asked us to do is remember. Remember what you went through when you offered up your body, so beaten and so bruised, so lifeless there at the end of the cross. All you asked us to do is remember that your body is the bread of life. And you asked us to partake in this remembrance by eating of your body. And so as we partake of the bread today, as we chew it, and as we swallow it, Heavenly Father, let your life come into our lives anew as we remember once again, Heavenly Father, what Jesus did for us. Thank you for offering your body for us, dear Jesus. And in your name I pray it. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for shedding your blood on the cross. Without the shedding of your blood, Lord, there would be no salvation for any of us. And we're so thankful for that. Help us to realize how important that is and to not take it for granted, Lord. Everything you did for us, you wanted us to be in your kingdom. And we thank you for that and for loving us so much. Amen.
During this time of the service, if you have something you would like to praise the Lord for, if you have a special prayer request or thanksgiving, then Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it to them saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." As we close, I would remind us that on the way out, you'll have an opportunity to give to the Good Samaritan Fund. There will be a deacon at the door. Again, from the Desire of Ages, the communion service points to Christ's second coming. What a privilege it has been to study about Christ's second coming this week and all of what we've been studying in our Sabbath school classes. Very grateful for that. Communion service points to Christ's second coming. It was designed to keep this hope vivid in the minds of the disciples. Whenever they meet together to commemorate his death, they recounted how he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, "Drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. In their tribulation, they found comfort in the hope of their Lord's return. Unspeakably precious to them was the thought, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The Bible relates that the disciples with Jesus, minus Judas, got up and headed toward Gethsemane. Jesus led them in a song. Have any idea what that song was? Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 117. The Desire of Ages tells us this was the song that was on their lips as they headed for Gethsemane. Think about where Jesus was headed and think about him singing this psalm. Let's read it all together, if you wouldn't mind. It's a short psalm, and this can be our hymn as we close this service. Just read right along together. O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Amen.